Seated. Good afternoon, law school, faculty, and administration, members of the class of 2014, families, and friends. Welcome to the final convocation of the class of 2014 of Cornell Law School. I am Stuart Schwab, the Alan R. Tesler Dean of the Law School, and I have the honor of presiding over this ceremony today. Today is a very special day for all of us as we celebrate our graduates. On this Mother's Day, it's an especially special day for the mothers who launched us and supported us, the mothers here on the stage and in the audience, the mothers watching nearby and far away, the mothers who are no longer here. I want to take a moment to thank the mother of my 8 children, my wife, Norma Schwab, Associate University Counsel here at Cornell, who is here today, for all she does for me and for them. Before we continue with this afternoon's festivities, let us all pause for a moment. As with all great celebrations in life, this graduation day causes us to reflect upon those who are no longer with us, but who we remember in our hearts. In February of this year, the law school community lost one of its own when Professor Ted Eisenberg suddenly died of a heart attack. Known as the grandfather of empirical legal studies for his pioneering efforts in that methodology, Professor Eisenberg was a member of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, a skilled teacher, a wonderful collaborator, a prolific scholar during his 33 years on the Cornell Law School faculty. Many of today's graduates were his students in their first year contract law. I ask that we take a moment of silence to honor his memory. Thank you. These last 3 years have been a whirlwind of activity, of intellectual growth for our JD graduates, both in and out of class. Our LLM graduates have had a similar whirlwind and done it in only 1 year. Graduates, you could not have done it alone. It has taken the support of friends and families, siblings, spouses, partners, parents. Graduates, before we celebrate your accomplishments and talk about your road ahead, I invite you to take a moment to thank your friends and family with a round of applause. Our goal at Cornell Law School has been to enable you to become lawyers in the best sense. It's our tagline, often used, some suggest overused, but I think not. Good marketing requires repetition. The line comes from Cornell's first president, Andrew Dixon White. In 1885, President White set forth the goals for the then new Cornell Law School. His words remain as true today as when he articulated them nearly 130 years ago. His words are worth repeating. Our aim should be to keep its instruction strong, its standard high, and so to send out not swarms of hastily prepared pettifoggers, that's for the other law schools, but rather a fair number of well-trained, large-minded, morally based lawyers in the best sense, who, as they gain experience, may be classed as jurists and become a blessing to the country at the bar, on the bench, and in the various public bodies. 129 years later, as we look out on the class of 2014, it's not a swarm. It's not a bunch of pettifoggers, definitely not. I see lawyers in the best sense. Who is a lawyer in the best sense? Well, first, such a lawyer is well-trained and takes pride in legal craftsmanship, who is technically sophisticated. But superb technical training is not enough to be a lawyer in the best sense. Second, such a lawyer has a sensitive moral compass, is ethically prepared. The practice of law is an ethically challenged career. Lawyers are always responsible for their actions. They never just follow orders. Every day you will have to reconcile your duties to promote your client's interests with other duties to yourself, to your communities, to the legal profession, to the larger society. I hope that you will feel that struggle every day. If you do not feel that struggle, you should worry about what you've become. But third, a large-minded lawyer in the best sense not only takes pride in craftsmanship, not only is ethically sensitive, but also has a broad understanding of the role of law in society, at home and around the world, and is an active force for good. Looking out at the eager faces before us, I believe we have succeeded in nurturing lawyers in the best sense. Faculty and administrators, we should be proud of this achievement. Now, graduates, during your time at the law school, you've honed your capacity for critical analysis to a razor-sharp edge. You've become adept at fashioning a powerful counter-argument to any argument. I'm sure your friends and family have noticed this enhanced ability. Perhaps they've even found it a bit tiresome as you practice it on them. I picture you sitting at the breakfast table, taking on your professor's role. Your companion says, "I like waffles." You immediately respond, "Oh, do you? Do you really like all waffles? Is there not at least one kind of waffle within the generic term waffle that you do not like? Exactly what do you mean by the term waffle anyway?" "Are you waffling?" you tell your companion in your answer. This ability to probe into questions is a powerful skill. In law school, you have come to know that issues are more complicated than they often appear at a distance. You've come to see that good and admirable people may hold different and inconsistent perspectives on a complex problem. But you must not be content with that insight. You must not just relish the question, but also seek resolutions. Members of the class of 2014, perhaps the most important part of your experience are the friends that you have made during your time in Myron Taylor Hall. I recall welcoming you at a speech at orientation, just as you were beginning your time here. As I recall, I urged you to speak up, to let yourself be pushed, to make mistakes. I also asked that you look to the student to your left and to your right. I predicted, as you may recall, that you would make a friend and a professional comrade. Today, I ask you again to take a moment now to look to your left, to look to your right, and to congratulate your fellows on having made it to this day, but also remind your neighbor the journey is just beginning. It is now my pleasure to introduce our student speakers for today's ceremonies. We will be hearing from two of our graduates, both of them elected by their peers to speak today, one representing the JD class and the other our Masters of Laws, our LLM program. Speaking first will be our JD graduate, Jonathan Underwood. Jonathan earned a BS in chemistry and a PhD in synthetic organic chemistry at the University of Southampton in England. At Cornell Law School, among Jonathan's many accomplishments have included moot court chancellor, article editor for the Cornell International Law Journal, student representative to the Faculty Appointments Committee. This fall, Jonathan will be joining the Philadelphia office of the Akin Gump Law Firm, where he will specialize in patent litigation. Please join me in welcoming our JD speaker, Jonathan Underwood.
Good afternoon, everyone. To my fellow classmates graduating today, congratulations. Law school is over. No more moaning about it. To our family and friends celebrating our graduation today, congratulations also. Law school is over. No more listening to us moan about it. Instead, we'll be moaning about the bar exam. I've mentioned family and friends, and I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge them, those who are here today, as well as those who couldn't be here today. Getting through law school was made a little bit easier, knowing we had their support, even if they didn't understand why we were so concerned about things like personal jurisdiction and in-state activity. And given that today is Mother's Day, I want to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. When I walked into the law school earlier this week to take my last exam, I thought how each of us graduating today is a little bit like our law school. Outwardly, we look pretty much the same as we did 3 years ago. Perhaps a few more wrinkles and grey hairs here and there. Perhaps we take up a little bit more space. But the biggest changes are on the inside. We've changed a great deal in the last 3 years. All of our experiences have shaped us into what we are today. It's hard to list the myriad things we've learned and done in our time here. We've had good times and bad times, bonny times and bothersome times. Law school has been an intense learning period. Well, certainly for the few weeks before and during finals. Everyone's path to this day is unique, but it all started out with that first day of orientation back in August 2011. That day, we were welcomed by several members of the faculty. Two particular comments caught my attention. Both were on the topic of what you can expect in law school. Professor Holden Smith recounted a story of her experiences as a 1L student. During one brutal winter, she said, her classes were cancelled, and she had no heating in her apartment. What did she do? She took out a casebook, swaddled herself up in bed, and laying under the covers, began to read for the upcoming classes, taking delight in what she was reading and feeling absolutely certain that she had made the right career choice. Later, Professor Johnson put us on alert. You can never take a day off, she said in response to a question about how much work we needed to do. Well, sheer delight for the gunners in the class, sheer horror for the rest of us normal people. And it was at this point that I, and probably many of you, thought, what on earth have I let myself in for? And the next few days seemed to confirm that thought. For me, reading for classes was like stirring wet concrete with my eyelashes, to borrow Scott Turrell's phrase. I am very happy to say that this is no longer the case. And so over the 3 years, we've learned to think like a lawyer. What are the issues in this case? What were the judges thinking when they reached that decision? How can I craft a legal argument with this material? How much money can I bill for this work? Alongside thinking like a lawyer, we've learned a great deal of substantive law. So many legal doctrines are no longer a mystery. Even property laws rule against perpetuities. Guests, please do ask one of us to explain the rule against perpetuities. I'm only kidding, no one really gets it. Aside from the finer points of law, we've learned many other things at Cornell Law School. On any given day here, there will be food available at a talk or a club event or something similar. During exam times, llamas can help with the stress of finals. Embracing the different types of pasta can really add variety to your meals. And the law school will let you set up a club dedicated to almost any of your interests with any slight legal relationship, be it left-wing politics, right-wing politics, wine tasting, or even clay pigeon shooting. Importantly, as we progress through law school, we learned a great many skills, especially through activities such as moot court, mock trial, externships, and clinical work. Whether reading old cases or working on current cases, we've encountered our society both at its worst, sadly, and at its best, fortunately, when they've found solutions to those problems. Now, the journey here has not been easy, but we gather here today knowing victory is ours, we made it through, and we've made lifelong friends in the process. And now we look out into a future full of possibilities. While law school has been instrumental in many of the changes we've undergone, some changes are purely incidental, but no less important. When I came to Cornell, I was just a green card holder. Now I am a US citizen, and proud of it. I know some of my classmates have also become citizens during this time, so congratulations to them. And I know at least two others who need to step up and become citizens, so please do so. And when I moved to Ithaca with my wife, our immediate family was just the two of us and our two Siamese cats. In just a few months, my wife and I will become parents for the first time to a baby girl. Thankfully, she is due after the bar exam. And I know one of my classmates is also expecting, and several of you also had children during law school. I must say, those of you who had children during law school are truly the brave ones. Now, each of our non-law school changes provide a context for that future full of possibilities. We are all heading out on different career paths to different locations across the country and across the globe. Perhaps as public defenders for the indigent, tax lawyers for the government, clerks for federal or state judges, deal makers in complex transactions, or litigators for when those transactions go wrong. Some of us took a circuitous route to get here, and are proof that you can do whatever you put your mind and effort to. Remember that our future is whatever that we want to make of it. Wherever you start out need not be wherever you end up. After we leave here, we should remember those jarring cases that we studied, those unjust outcomes from the last 250 years of American history. While we have come a long way since the Revolution, we still have much to do. I want my baby girl to grow up in a society that treats her no differently from a baby boy growing up alongside her, or anyone else because of their race, national origin, or sexual orientation, or any other immutable characteristic. The laws in our country must move forward in the name of equality and guard against discrimination. We started at Cornell with a great enthusiasm to be lawyers, and we've learned how to be lawyers. Wherever we go, we should staunchly keep that enthusiasm, and we should couple it with the skills that we have gained whilst here. We should make sure that no matter what our main occupation is, in some way, we use our abilities to help our country live up to its first promise of the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all. And I note that each of us, each and every one of us graduating today, is now equipped with the skills to do just that. We leave Cornell Law School as lawyers in the best sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Representing the LLM class is Carlo Villarama. Carlo was born and raised in the Philippines. He studied law at the Ateneo de Manila Law School. Prior to his arrival at Cornell last fall, Carlo served as a law clerk for the Office of the Associate Justices of the Supreme Court of the Philippines. Upon returning home, Carlo plans to re-enter government service. Please join me in welcoming our LLM speaker, Carlo Villarama.
When they told me that there would be around 1,300 people here today, I was shocked more than terrified. I thought to myself, there's more than 1,000 people in Ithaca? Really? But yeah, among the 1,300 people here, of course, there are VIPs. Dean Schwab, Dean Crampton, esteemed professors, valiant staff members, mom, dad, and ate. Good afternoon and happy Mother's Day. To the graduating class, we're just peace here, but good afternoon anyway. My head is boiling, you might recognize me better with my... Filipino ako. That means I'm Filipino. My country is relatively insignificant in the international sphere. It's small. It's in the middle of the ocean. We're not influential in the world stage. Many of you can't even place us in the map. But for reference, we are located 2,000 miles southeast of China, 2,700 miles north of Australia, at the western tip of the Pacific Ocean. This is an open invite to come visit us. I guarantee my country is beautiful. Our food is amazing. If you want evidence, just look at me. Exhibit A, Your Honor. The place is safe. New York City subway is much more dangerous. And our hospitality is second to none. As our tourism slogan puts it, it's more fun in the Philippines. As a bonus, after this shameless plug for my homeland, there is now one Filipino standing in front of you who will now give you guys unsolicited advice. To the JD class, you guys rock. But after today, you won't be so cocky. You'd be out there working, earning a living, building a name for yourselves, just like anybody else. But no matter how consumed you are in finding that perfect job with the highest salary possible, don't forget that the legal profession is not a money-making endeavor. I can hear some whispers like, what, are you insane? But yeah, I'm not crazy. My mother had me tested. The practice of law is not a business. It's higher than that. It's about justice and what's right. If you can make money while doing it, that's just awesome sauce. So, all right, enough for you guys. John had you covered pretty well. To my LLM class, after today, life will proceed as scheduled here in Cornell. Apollo will still sell fast and oily Chinese food. The buses will still be 2 minutes late. The library will still be open 24/7. The law school will operate as if nothing happened. Except, of course, with the gaping hole to be left by our beloved Charlie Crampton, who is retiring soon. Good luck, sir. We all love you. We will be forgotten here in Cornell. But let me tell you, for each one of us, wherever we are, our class is the only class worth remembering. I suspect that no one will even remember this speech. But if you can take away two things from me today, let it be these. First, get out of here. Go home. Go back to your respective countries and serve your people. They don't need our talents here. Just look at all these bright and hardworking JDs. They may be alcoholics, but come on, they're brilliant. My point is, they have enough talent here in the U.S. Take your Cornell education back home and be of use to your people. Serve in government. Improve your legal systems. Don't get me wrong, I had a wonderful time here. I'll miss the ridiculous weather. I'll miss the snow. I'll miss the email barrage every day. And I'll miss deleting them even more. I'll miss each one of you. But like all good things, it has come to an end. The time has come for us to leave and be productive in our respective parts of the world. So LLMs, get out of here. Second, in pursuing your careers, whether in private representation or government service, keep in mind that lawyers are not just hired guns. We are advocates of what is right and what is just. Along the way, we will be confronted with difficult situations, legally equal sides, and moral gray areas. In navigating these tricky roads, books, statutes, even case law, aren't enough guidance. We rely on ourselves. We ought to do what we believe in our hearts is fair and right. In closing, I will leave you with a few words from one Supreme Court justice. He quotes, "There is a higher law than the law of government. That is the law of conscience." That justice happens to be my father, who is here now, with my beautiful mother. Happy Mother's Day, Mama. And yes, I am a mama's boy. And my elder sister, who looks 10 years younger than me. With that, a round of applause for our parents, family, and loved ones. This day belongs to them as well. Good luck, Godspeed, mabuhay. Thank you, and good day.
Thank you, Carlo. We will now hear from a member of our faculty selected by the graduating class to address all of us today, Professor Barbara Holden Smith. Professor Holden Smith joined the Cornell Law School faculty in 1990 after graduating from the University of Chicago Law School. Before joining the law school, she clerked for the Honorable Ann Williams of the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Illinois, and then joined the Washington, D.C. law firm of Arnold and Porter, where she worked in litigation, antitrust, and food and drug law. Here at Cornell, Professor Holden Smith teaches courses on conflicts, on federal courts, and definitely on civil procedure. She also serves as the law school's vice dean. On a personal note, I want to say how much I have enjoyed working with her in this role over the last 6 years, and before that as the associate dean, and how much I've learned from her. What not everyone knows is the amazing work Professor Holden Smith has done in the last 10 years studying and promoting cross-cultural legal education. Much of this work has been through the International Association of Law Schools, where she serves as general secretary and board member. In addition, she's helped secure a number of exchange agreements between Cornell and foreign law schools. For 5 years, she directed the Cornell Summer Law Institute in Suzhou, China. She's taught in our Paris summer program. She's offered a course in Argentina on international litigation. And she's worked with our Avon Global Center for Women and Justice on the Lawyers Without Borders Judicial Training Project. These projects and others have taken Professor Holden Smith in the last 10 years to China nearly a dozen times, India 4 times, South Africa several times, but also to Vietnam, Chile, Argentina, France, England, Italy, Liberia, Ghana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Singapore, Estonia, Ireland, Russia, Thailand, Kenya, Uganda, and Nigeria. She goes to Malaysia on Monday. Please join me in welcoming Professor Barbara Holden-Smith.
Good afternoon. On behalf of my colleagues, greetings and congratulations to the Cornell Law School class of 2014. And I want to extend a very warm welcome to the families and friends of our graduates. Class of 2014, you have the honor of being the last law school class that will graduate from Cornell during the tenure of Stuart Schwab as our dean. Stuart has served with great distinction for more than 10 years. I believe I speak for my colleagues, the students, and our alumni around the world in saying that his leadership will be greatly missed. And so I ask you to join me in a round of applause to thank Stuart Schwab for his time as dean and for his leadership. I want to, too, begin by saying happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are present. Not only the mothers who sit here so proudly today as you witness this milestone in the lives of your sons and daughters who have fulfilled not only their own dreams of completing law school, but perhaps your dreams for them as well. And not just the mothers who sit here on the stage with me, women I have come to respect deeply, not just for their brilliance and professionalism, but also for the jobs they do as mothers, raising their own children while excelling in a demanding career. More importantly, I wish to express my admiration for those of you in the class of 2014 who are yourselves mothers or fathers. I don't know how you did it. Of course, I too went to law school, and I know how hard you had to work, that you had to try to perform your best in the classroom and on examinations after having had little sleep most of the time. How difficult it is to maintain a semblance of a healthy and balanced life while trying to fit 20 hours of classes and study into a 24-hour day. I did not have to raise my child while I was in school, but if I had, I seriously doubt that I could have done what those of you who are parents have accomplished by completing law school. So I want to say a special congratulations to the mothers and fathers in the class of 2014. Your time as students at Cornell is nearly at an end. I will miss many of you. Indeed, saying goodbye to each class of law students is one of the hardest parts of my job as a teacher, but is also one of the most rewarding, because I am confident that we, the members of the faculty and staff, are graduating a superbly educated group of young men and women, many of whom will leave here and make a real difference in the world. As I said to you during orientation when you first came to us, Cornell is a great law school. And one of the most important reasons it is a great law school is because of you. Yes, we have some of the best legal scholars and teachers in the world on our faculty. Yes, we have administrators who have a wealth of experience and perform their responsibilities with creativity, compassion, and a high degree of professionalism. Yes, we are privileged to be located on one of the most beautiful college campuses in the world, and we are part of Cornell University, one of the world's great research institutions. And yes, as you have seen during your time here, you have had opportunities to engage in a vast array of academic experiences outside the classroom. Every week there have been guest lecturers, workshops, and conferences that have exposed you to world-class scholars who have discussed with you some of the most important and interesting topics of our times as related to law, to society, and to legal institutions. And this, in addition to the rich range of intellectual resources and opportunities provided by the larger university. All these things make Cornell a great law school. But again, our greatest asset in my view, is our student body. As I said to you at orientation, I think that what makes Cornell students unique is the sense of community which you create here. When I was making my decision to go to law school more than 30 years ago, I knew that one career I might pursue would be as a law professor. However, not too far into my first year, I began to really question whether such a career would be wise, because I found that I did not like law students. I found too many of my classmates to be arrogant, competitive, and lacking in some pretty fundamental social skills that help make us all tolerable to each other. And so I thought that perhaps law teaching would not be in the cards for me. But as fate would have it, eventually I did decide to try teaching and ended up here at Cornell. From my very first class, I knew that Cornell students were different from the students with whom I had gone to law school. Both inside the classroom and outside of it, I could sense the spirit of a community, that rather than seeing themselves as in competition with each other, the students saw themselves as all in this together. In class, you belie the stereotype of the competitive law student and were actually polite to and supportive of each other. Sometimes I was frustrated by this behavior. As many of you know, I am not always the most gentle person during my questioning in class. Indeed, during my first year of teaching, which was 1990, I taught a small section of civil procedure. Most of my evaluations from the students were quite positive, but there's one comment I will never forget. I did not decide to spend $20,000 a year, the student wrote on the evaluation, just to be scared to death by you every day. My evaluation since then suggests that I have learned to tone it down somewhat, but I am still a work in progress. And I have learned a great deal from you. Because of the respect you have shown to each other in my classes, I have learned from you that the classroom could be a place of intellectual rigor, while at the same time being a place where humility is equally on display. I am grateful to you for the lesson. Today may seem like an ending to you, the end of your legal education, but it can't be. It is merely a passage from one phase of your life to another, for your education should never stop. To me, the desire to know, to learn, to understand is the most unique aspect of being human. Indeed, I would not be standing here today if not for that drive within me, that drive to know, to learn. I was the second of five children born to a teenage single mother. By the time I was six, the government of the District of Columbia had taken us away from our mother, and by the time I was nine, she had died. My brother, sisters, and I then were raised in a federal government housing project by our great-grandparents, neither of whom had ever gone beyond the third grade. My siblings never left the Washington, D.C. area until well into their adulthoods, and to this day they continue to struggle to maintain a toehold on the lower rungs of the middle class. I alone made it out, and I got to see the larger world. Not because I was smarter or harder working or more virtuous than any of them, but because I was luckier and because I loved learning. School was my haven from the chaos of home, and the public library was my temple. Many of you came here to pursue a degree so that you could join a profession, but I believe that you would not have had the opportunity to come here, and you would not have succeeded in being able to sit here today about to graduate if you too did not love the life of the mind. I hope you will never lose the desire to know, to understand, because if you lose that desire, you will have lost a vital part of your humanity. I think that the purpose of a good legal education should be the same as the purpose of any education. My most important hero as a teenager was the writer, civil rights activist, and humanitarian James Baldwin, who, as he would say, just happened to be black, just happened to be male, and just happened to be gay. I had the great privilege of meeting Baldwin when I was a judicial law clerk, and he was given a lecture at the University of Chicago shortly before his death in 1987. Baldwin was not himself a teacher by trade, but he taught me and countless others through his books and essays. Indeed, because of him, I learned of the power of writing to change, if not the world, at least the life of a young person who is otherwise without much hope. Baldwin had the following to say about education. It would seem to me that when a child is born, if I am that child's parent, it is my obligation and high duty to civilize that child. A human being is a social animal who cannot exist without society. A society, in turn, depends on certain things which everyone within that society takes for granted. Now, the crucial paradox which confronts us here is that the whole process of education occurs within a social framework and is designed to perpetuate the aims of that society. The paradox of education is precisely this. As one begins to become conscious, one begins to examine the society in which one is being educated. The purpose of education, finally, is to create in a person the ability to look at the world for him or herself, to make one's own decisions, to say to oneself, this is black or this is white, to decide for oneself whether there is a God in heaven or not, to ask questions of the universe and then to learn to live with those questions is the way one achieves one's identity. But no society is really anxious to have that kind of person around. What societies really, ideally want is a citizenry which will simply obey the rules. If society succeeds in this, that society is about to perish. That is the real paradox. The obligation of anyone who thinks of himself or herself as responsible is to examine society and try to change it, and to fight it no matter what the risk. This is the only hope society has. This is the only way it changes. My own hope is that we at Cornell Law School have done our jobs and have encouraged you to spend your lives asking questions of the law, of society, of yourselves, and of your values. For there is much work that needs to be done to make America a more just and humane society. There is indeed much work to be done beyond our territorial boundaries to bring about simple justice in the world. As citizens, I believe you will likely live a much richer life if you commit yourselves to playing a role in making society more decent and fair. As a lawyer, you would likely have a very hard time to avoid participating, for our profession is one that stands as a keeper of things as they are, but also one that opens doors to fundamental change. This is so because, for all of its faults, America is a society of laws, and so the kind of society we have is reflected in and is a product of law. Thus, if change is to come, it must ultimately be produced by law and reflected in law. So you, as JDs or LLMs, are about to enter or are already members of a profession that is vital to the health and well-being of nearly every citizen of America and of many of the citizens of the world at large. How you decide to use your talents and skills as lawyers will depend in large part on what is in your heart, what your values are, and importantly, whether you have the courage to keep asking questions. I believe that as citizens, you have a responsibility to keep educating yourselves. I am sure that many of you will play important roles in solving some of the problems that are causing our society, both domestically and internationally, to become one in which the promises of America's ideals are slipping away. I hope you will also remember this from the great African-American scientist and inventor, George Washington Carver, who was born near the end of the Civil War and died near the middle of the 20th century. Carver said, "How far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of both the weak and the strong, because someday in your life, you will have been all of those. Class of 2014, I look forward to seeing each of you down the road and learning about all you have accomplished and what you have given back. You will always be in our hearts, and Cornell will always be your home. As you leave us now, I wish for you a large measure of joy and peace amid the inevitable pains of life. I know that you have brought joy to my life, for which I will be forever grateful. Thank you.
I thank all our speakers today. We now come to what for many will be the highlight of for the folks in this arena, the formal recognition of our graduates. At this time, I'd like to turn the proceedings over to Assistant Dean John DeRosa.
Thank you, Dean Schwab. Graduates, you will be ushered to the stage by degree category. As I announce your name, please proceed across the stage. Your picture will be taken as you shake hands with Dean Schwab, and you can then return to your seats by way of the stairs on the far side of the stage. And we will begin this afternoon with our candidates for the degree of Doctor of the Science of Law. Sabrina Germain. And Hannah Asbaha Haile. And the following are the candidates for the degree of Master of Laws. Carlo D. Villarama. Vikrant Pachnanda. Irene Abel. Inez Audran. Azan Mustafa Backer. Raul Wara. Alexander Argyris. Rohan Jaitley. Katerina Gabrielle Vitibo Cazalan. Sandra Miriam Akusua Gyamfi. Yi Chen. Sido Sheen. Boru Yu. Lu Han. Guanying Zhou. Yu Shao. Yalin Yin. Yifan Wu. Xu Jin Xu. Haoran Hu. Jingji Yuan. David Cordero Heredia. Rikia Okuhara. Ryohei Tsukuda. Polina Smirnova. Mei-Chi Wang. Hei Liu. Manipalin Siyu Tenshai. Shai-Yu Yin. Yuki Arai. Prefon Pachpasri. Juwei Wang. Yanfei Guo, Danyu Ji, Hefei Wang, Yangfan Gao, Yilei Zhou, Menwan Xu, Yejing Zeng, Xuanpei Yang, Yu Yao Tan, Xini Tan, Jingjing Wu, Guanji Wang, Yi Men, Yunfei Zeng, Dongyo Park, Daniela Antona, Man Shu, Ariana Omar, Alice Chevalier, Rodica Tertoy, Yulia Markova, Nelson Atanga Ayamdu, Afumachuku Ofodile, Kawumbi Mutantar Ndulo, Christina Rufile Mosalahai, Filippo Maki Di Celere, Wei Fu, Jen Yi Fun, Yunhan Zhang, Hui Ting Zhou, Bofei Feng, Kua Chung, Yonga Liu, Rui Yang, Bing Li, Dan Dan Lu, Ling Xiao Yu, Qin Wen, Dongjing Wei, Wenting Lu, Xiang Ning, Takumi Ida, Tomohiro Saito, Suzy Zhong, Jiabao Xu, Xiaoyu Sun, Evelyn Shaja Liu, Fei Fan, Shenyuan Tian, Samuel Chaiyan Zhu, Gawen Qian, Xiaoqi Ma, and Hiroki Kishi. And the following are the candidates for the degree of Juris Doctor and Master of Laws in International and Comparative Law. Natalie Blank and Kyle David Reinert. As our candidates for the degree of Juris Doctor and Master en Droit have been recognized in other ceremonies, we proceed now to the candidates for the degree of Juris Doctor. John Underwood. Neil Christensen Meldrum. Lynn Nicole Kolodinsky. Alexandra Lee Cowan. Minsa Khan. Ken Keong Lee. Spencer S. Orton. Thomas Edward Santoro. Yifan Wang. Alfonso Dulce. Ali Paradis. Catherine Jana Druyan. John Joseph Nogueras. Marianne Awada. Ross Weinstein. Jonathan Goddard. Matthew Layton. Daniel Mark Horowitz. Stephen Kent Worth. Kate Elizabeth Georgian. Audrian M. Steiner. Catherine Nicole Eisenhut. Kelsey Ann Baldwin. Jane Elizabeth Bobay. Connor McCormick. Stephanie Ahn. Zachary Adam Glantz. Matthew Tyman. Andrew Solaire. John Strethern McGregor. Ari J. Diakonis. Adam Sleeper. Nathan Taylor. That's all right. Danielle Renee Jones. Carla Moore. Hamza Minhas. Hai C. Pham. Andrew J. Schaefer. Thaddeus R. Cleckley. Evan Dryden Babcock. Carlisle Overby. Gregory Allen Rennick. Tristan Wellum. Matthew F. Soares. Sonia Sujanani. Antoinette Marie Futo. Benjamin L. Rudofsky. Jade Harry. Matthew Aglialoro. Benjamin Joseph Turner. Adrian Ramos. Anthony Vita. Juan Diego Alonso Sucar. Travis DiStazzo. Gabriel Monroe, Peter Raymond, Gypsy Margaret Rose Moore, Andrew Maharaj, Teresa Nunzia Sidoroff, Chloe Lichtenstein, Alex Poe, Gabriella Rocha, Byron Andrew Crow II, Maxine Adams, Shanu Park, Dylan Horn, Mark Kehoe, Serena Shea, Chuan Liu, Michael Duo Yu, Yu Mizutani, Michael Slotnick, Joshua Xiong, Michael Yangming Xio, Guang Yu Zhu, Andrea Elizabeth Quinn Matute, John Alex Schoaf, Michael A. Magdalinskas, Cheyenne Amanda Sanders, Peter T. Cavallaro, Jeffrey Andrew Dennard, Derek Ryan Steuben, Kevin Michael Frank, Evan Moore, Allison Ruth Nolan, Claudia Duncan, Diane Furstenaw, Irene Yang, Wanju Sol, Michelle Harry Min, Hannah Ko, Mie Wu, Scott Johnson, Margaret Schmidt, Camille Bacon Schulte, Jonathan David Castellanos, Major McCargo, and happy birthday to Pooja V. Parikh. Alex Cave, Andrea D. Lawrence, Nicole L. McNeil, Stephanie Jane Langan, Brooke Larkin Fisher, Daniel Alexander McKinnon Dubois, there you go, Ross Adam Fox, Joshua Wesneski, Sarah Katie O'Loughlin, Nikki Gaglani, Julia Pascuzzo, Susan Law, Belinda Ying Liu, Donna Camila Harris, Michaela Chelsea Dudley, Victoria Rael Clark, Jessica Laguerre, Stephanie Delgado, Claire Artemis Holton Basaldua, Jamie Ann Stinson, Stephanie Lee Williams, Lauren Alana Yasmin Bowman, Diane Milner, Raffaella Ricciardi, Jeremy Amar Dolan, Zachary Edward Zemlin, Casey Scott Duffy, Daniel Walter Hartman, Stephen Robert Grindell, Cameron Thomas Cotton, Alex David Harris, Dan Youngblood, Zungwei Wang, Andrew Cao, Mengyun Tang, Patrick Yu, Shanya Punyakampal, Malavika Abe Rao, Barisare Rachel Kone, Daniel Patrick Haido, Lindsay Marie Marcelino, Erica Patricia Lopez Tapia, Christina Ann Laramie, Melissa Osei, Alicia Fowler, Alyssa Joy Getz, Dominique Nicole Forrest, Matthew Campbell, Gwen Goh, Stephen Jonathan Colby, Sherry J. Jarens, Stephen Weingold, Vincent Basares, Bradley Bartlett, Alexander Wingate, Stephanie Ann Moore, Caitlin Marie Wright, Jordan Nicole Aiello, Jessica Ann Flett, Maxwell D.T. Fabian, Tiffany Chu, Matthew Signorelli, Erickson Liu, Anu Sarkar, Amy Elizabeth Quarter, Ali Nathaniel Wright, Jonathan Black, Christina Quinones Betancourt, Oleg Zakatov, Daniel Principato, Osvaldo Garcia, Michael Lee, Pearl Han, Annie C. Chen, Ethan Roman, Jay Young Ariel Jung, Michelle Mahan Hu, Michael J. Malazzo, and Ryuk Park, Cornell Law School Class of 2014, congratulations.
Please remain standing while we sing the Cornell alma mater. The words are in the front of your program. Once we conclude the alma mater, please remain standing while the faculty proceed out of the auditorium, and then please join us back at the law school for a reception.